Welcome to the official SBGAN podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Nicely.
Welcome back to the podcast series. Today, I am speaking with two persons who met on the basis of a shared interest in the gut microbiome, and childhood obesity. Both of them are PhDs in, should I say dietetics, in dietary science, in nutrition science? PhDs in nutrition science. Giulia Fiore comes from Milan, and that's where she did her advanced academic work. She left for a little while to go to Piedmont and came back and kept on going. During her time there, she spent some time away from the campus in Milan, going to Catalonia. There, at the University Rovere del Virgili in Reus, there are several campuses, and I've been instructed not to give the impression that this university campus was in Tarragona. There she met, I say, Mireia Alcázar López, who was also doing advanced work in nutrition science. During the 4 months of your stay, Giulia, you struck up a friendship and a collaboration on diet, the microbiome, obesity, and interventions in the diet and how they might play out in evolution or changes of the microbiome, of the enterobiome. And they've found some work to present at a recent international conference. And it's our opportunity now to hear what that work consisted in. Which of you would like to talk first about your studies and about what you've found?
Well,
that's Giulia, for those who don't know.
We decided to explore to what extent diet or intervention, which is the goal, the treatment for childhood obesity, can impact on gut microbiota. So this is the starting point. We all know that diet is the primary trigger to the diversification of gut microbiota. So this is the idea.
There's been a lot of work on exactly how different diets alter the enterobiome. You referred us in your selection of references that will accompany as a cover sheet this podcast when it's released. Work on how vegan, vegetarian, and omnivore diets are reflected in the enterobiome, and how those enterobiome shifts are also reflected in the content of metabolites within the chyme that's presented, of course, to the body. And Giulia has just given me, with finger pointing and directed looks, the impression that I should be asking you, Mireia, about this aspect of your work.
Yeah, it has just published a recent large scale in Nature Microbiology, and the researchers found that each dietary pattern is associated with distinct gut microbiota signatures. For instance, omnivores had higher levels of bacteria like Milophila warzodzia, which are linked with meat consumption and also are linked with inflammatory conditions. But in contrast, vegan participants exhibited an abundance of beneficial bacteria that can produce certain fatty acids, such as the Fecalibacterium prausnitzii, and adopting these dietary patterns or these healthy dietary patterns could influence only not in the composition, but only in the beneficial effects that this gut microbiota could add to in our body.
I'm going to ask you to take us through that step by step. What was the question that you wanted particularly to answer in your collaborative studies? Giulia, you?
Yes. In the collaborative systematic review and meta-analysis we carried out, we wanted to investigate to what extent the dietary interventions in children and adolescents with obesity changes the gut microbiota, and what are the potential impacts on the health changes, metabolic changes.
But that's a systemic review.
Yes, systematic review.
What about independent work in... Have you carried out independent work in children and adolescents to assess their enterobiomes before and after intervention?
Yeah, in our group, we are carrying out a nutritional intervention based on motivational interview, sorry. And we observed that those children who were following the intervention present a higher improvement in the diversity in comparison with the control group. So also we observed significant differences between...
Hold. So you're going too fast for me, and you may be going too fast for some of the people at home. Let me talk about... Tell us about the two groups again. You have a control group, but then you have a group of obese children?
No, we have two groups of children with obesity. They were aged between 8 and 14 years, and the intervention group was based, or the intervention was not done to the children by itself, but to the nurses and the pediatricians.
Not done to the children by itself?
Yeah.
How should I understand that?
Delivered?
Yeah. We try to train the nurses and the pediatricians to motivational interview based structured visits.
And so you're working through nurses and pediatricians.
Yeah.
And you're attempting to train them.
Yeah.
Train them to do what?
To do a more structured visit, focus on the child with obesity, and with specific goals in every visit, more than the conventional treatment for obesity that they were doing in their practical and their clinical.
Okay, so now you've trained these doctors, and you are unleashing them. You are releasing them on two groups of obese children. One of them receives the intervention. One of them receives the training that you've given the doctors and the nurses. Does the other group not receive that training? Or do they use the standard methods that have been employed so far? So effectively, that's almost the same as a historical control, isn't it? I'm just trying to get a feel for exactly how the two cohorts and how you paid attention to them, what you did for them. So in one cohort, the doctors and the nurses just do what they've always done. And in the other, they attempt a structured intervention.
Yes.
Okay. What was the content of the structured intervention? What kind of structure did you offer?
Yeah, in every visit, they have to explain to the participants and the family. We involve also the family in the visits. For instance, to read labels and what is a healthy shopping list, and also how you can improve your physical activity. We didn't say anything about a restricted diet or calorie-restricted diet. We just say recommendations of a healthy diet based on the balanced, healthy diet for children. And in every visit, the nurses tell to the children specific different healthy lifestyle recommendations.
And how did you investigate the enterobiome at the outset of this study, and how did you choose a point at which to say, all right, we're going to see whether or not any difference in the enterobiome is identifiable?
Yeah, we know that the microbiome is so important, so we take a sample of these children at the beginning of the study.
Sample of what?
Of fecal sample, sorry.
Uh-huh.
We take a fecal sample of these children at the beginning of the study because they came to the hospitals to do a baseline visit with us, and we perform them anthropometrical parameters and also
anthropometrical. Okay, see how big they are, tall,
yeah,
fat, whatever.
Yeah, also, and we also made them body composition assessment with a DEXA. I don't know how to...
Aeroplatysmography?
Yeah, and also the, yeah.
What?
It's an amazing machine. Aeroplatysmography.
Aeroplatysmography.
It's like a chamber with a fixed volume, fixed pressure, and once a person entered the chamber, of course the pressure changes, and the machine is able to measure the volume of the children, and then from a predictive equation estimate the fat mass.
I assume that this is done in an unclothed state.
It's also done in my unit. In our both unit, we have this.
But you have to strip off your clothes for this.
Yes, you have.
I'm just thinking because when I get on a scale, I always look at the number and say, "Well, I have to take 15 kilos off for clothes."
Yes.
So, but that's not possible with plethysmography. I understand better now. Okay. Do you also sample blood and did you also get a biochemical profile?
Yeah.
At blood at the beginning, and when did you measure blood values again? When did you conduct plethysmography again? And when did you sample stool again?
Yeah, they attend at 11 visits, and we made
11 these visits.
Yeah, final follow-up visits with the pediatricians, and we did the final visit after a year, more or less.
A year, okay. Mm-hmm. And what happened?
We observed that just these 6 hours of training for the pediatricians and the nurses results in a reduction of the BMI of the children. And moreover, we observed that results in a higher increasement of the alpha diversity indexes of the gut microbiome, which has been associated with beneficial health after this intervention. And now we are working still in other data. So,
Julia, I'm going to say it sounds as if just paying attention to these families and to these children, giving them the impression that somebody was caring, was watching, was coaching them, cheering them, could have made a difference in how well they responded to attempts to lose weight.
Yeah.
But what you've done in addition to that is you've obtained objective measures of enterobiome and of physiologic function in those children, and you've tracked changes in both. You found loss of weight. You found shifts in the microbiome. What did you find in the blood work?
Very interesting question, but I guess that's the Mireya's article and topic. She's the one in charge to answer this.
Oops, I'm off base. Mireya, what did you find in the blood work?
Yeah, for the moment, we haven't analyzed it yet, but we have the data of cytokines, which are inflammatory markers, could be related with the gut microbiome. And also we have hormones like GLP-1, which has been associated with obesity as well, and neuropeptic YY, which is a molecule associated with the gut microbiome as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that we will have some results in a while, but we don't know yet.
The data are still being processed.
Yes.
And you hope to be able to include those data and the correlations that you observe in work that will appear in press soon.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Julia, it's time for me to get my own back. Tell us what you found in work that you really did, which was that systemic review.
Yes, exactly. Starting from our background, we were interested to deepen the knowledge of how diet alone, not supplementations, biotics, intervention, but diet alone can affect the gut microbiota of children and adolescents with obesity. So this is the starting point from our experience, and we decided to carry out this systematic review. For the ones of you who doesn't know, we started from a broad search in the literature with very specific methods, going through a screening of more than 3,000 articles, titles and abstracts. And at the very end, we collected only 5 articles that were really dealing with this topic. So,
5 articles in pediatric disease, in pediatric patients that truly address the question of how does diet affect the microbiome? Out of 3,000, that's a lower acceptance rate than Harvard undergraduate. That's fairly impressive. So what were some of the reasons that articles didn't meet your criteria?
Well, that's a very good point. Actually, we decided to stay strict only to children with obesity. So maybe there were other articles, but dealing with a healthy population. But our key topic was childhood obesity, for example. And the other main issue was the use of supplements, maybe, or biotics. So prebiotics, probiotics, symbiotics, which is outside of our interest in this review. So this is...
Did these five articles, did they... in consensus, achieve results that parallel what Mireia has found?
Well, yes, definitely. They were, they are in line with our what we have said previously, because in we were able to find a quantitative, let's say, quantitative measure to assess whether the dietary intervention affects gut microbiota. And this is the alpha index, which also Mireia assessed in her study. Alpha index, also alpha diversity index, is a measure to assess the richness and the evenness of the gut microbiota. And we found out that after the dietary intervention, there is a significant increase in the richness of the gut microbiota of these children.
And an increase in richness is favorably associated with biomarker values in other studies, and indeed with the ability to lose weight.
More, let's say, not the point is not lose weight, but the health of these children, the metabolic health of these children. The more the bacteria, the gut bacteria with a favorable effect on the gut microbiota, the more the health of the children and the future health is favorably impacted.
How do you see your collaboration moving forward over the next few years? Will you finally leave Catalonia?
I don't think so. But I could move to Milano to work together in other things, yes.
Well, that was at the back of my mind, I do confess it. But we have many ways of working across long distances. What projects are you going to undertake together?
I'll go first. Okay, well... we are both involved in the networking grant of the ESGAN. We are into the special interest group of childhood obesity. And we applied last year to the networking grant. We were founded and we will start a new project called the PRINCE Project.
Yes, and what's that all about?
We are trying to summarize or get data of children with obesity and to analyze the characteristics in blood and fecal markers and also in anthropometrical parameters to try to analyze the differences between children with metabolically healthy obesity and children with metabolically unhealthy obesity. And we are...
Okay. So that way, now we come back to finally the idea of whether or not these... something we can use. Yes, okay. I am grateful to both of you for coming today to speak to, well, to speak to me and to speak to the people who have made the mistake of listening to me. but it's time to say goodbye. And I have to ask you before we say goodbye to contribute something that speaks to you, a song that is important or meaningful to you, to the Espigan podcast favorite songs list, which is available on Spotify.
Well, we would like to contribute with the Obladi Oblada from the Beatles.
Jasper stays at home and does his pretty face, and in the evening, Molly rocks it with the band. Huh? Okay, take it away. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.